The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me here in Fitzpatrick's to attempt to answer some of the questions that this election poses is Benny Avney. He's the foreign editor at the New York Sun. Ellen Iones is back with us, news reporter with Vox, and she was here on Monday. And Kieran Staunton, who is one of the co-founders of the Irish Lobby for Immigration Reform and co-founded End Sepsis with his wife Orla as well. You're all very, very welcome. And thanks
a
million.
Thanks for having
for
us.
Seeing us. So, Ellen, did you see this coming? Bear in mind, we heard what you had to say on Monday.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, this is a result that, you know, the popular vote is still really tight. Looks like Trump won about 51% of that. I think we've all the polls foresaw a really tight race, and with the exception of one outlier. And I think, you know, understanding the American electorate is a really nobody does. It's a really difficult proposition. So, I don't think anybody saw it coming quite like this.
But was there anything that surprised you in terms of kind of how the different kind of demographic groups were represented for either party, or in terms of the kind of the sentiment people expressed in those opinion polls, those exit polls as well?
Well, I think the thing that I found the most interesting from what I've seen so far is the very high turnout of voters who are registered independent, higher than Democrats, according to Edison Research, which provides data for a lot of the news organizations that are calling the election. So that is something that I think really is not very well understood, but I think is something that we need to dissect, is really like who's that independent voter and what is motivating that voter? And I think there are a lot of answers to that question.
Benny, what direction of travel does Donald Trump's election put the U.S. presidency and the country on for the next 4 years?
Well, I think Trump said, I think it was in an interview with the Wall Street Journal, he said that as his foreign policy is concerned, he just hopes that everybody, he used the expletive, which I can't use here, will never guess what he's going to do. So it's very difficult for me to guess. But to add something interesting to Ellen's analysis, you know, I think that one of the major mistakes that Kamala Harris did was, Vice President Harris did, was that she tried to hold everybody, all sides, to please all sides. And guess what? Take the Middle East. She was a very balanced statement, you know, the war has to end, Palestinian suffering needs to, we'll always protect Israel and so forth. Guess what? Trump got more Jewish vote than he ever did, and he got more votes in Dearborn, the largest Arab and Muslim city in America. So you can't, I think Margaret Thatcher once said, you know, if you walk in the middle of the road, a car is going to hit you. So I think that was the case.
Would you agree with that, Kieran? Like, was that your sense of the Harris campaign as well, that it didn't stand for a whole lot, maybe?
I suppose, first of all, I think, and there's a lot of people in Ireland who are very concerned about this, and I'm old enough to remember 2016 when the landslide again, and people were shocked. And I continuously say, is people shouldn't panic. They shouldn't be overreact. If we remember in 2016, there was this threat of vans and trucks and people being rounded up. I think people had this thing of the Japanese program in 1942 when they arrested and gathered 120,000 Japanese, or the wetback program in 1954 when they gathered 1.3 million Mexicans, many of them Americans. Well, that cannot happen. So there will not be trucks in every corner. There's no mass roundups of people, because were they to round up people who looked like they might be from South America, most of them would be have born in America. So just to the listener, who have many people here, that issue isn't something people should worry about. I just tell you, I had a call at 12 o'clock last night, which was 5 a.m. Irish time, from my TD, Rose Conway Walsh, just wondering what was happening. Other calls, Seamus Shanley, Kilty Clare, falls all night about what is going to happen. I think first and foremost, people shouldn't get over panicked about what's happening, what's going to happen. The sky is not going to fall. The Republic will stand. The pendulum may swing right and left, as it has from Reagan to Clinton to back and forth. But first and foremost, the Republic will stand. Now, he does not have a policy for the Senate, although he has full control of it. He has full control of, more than likely, the Republicans will have the House. And it is easy to say the Monday quarterbacking. What disappoints me as someone who's been involved on immigration and various issues is the fact that there, in some states, and I think everyone can back me up, the large Hispanic turnout for President Trump, although he has threatened to deport them, close the border, his language this week at Madison Square Garden towards that was absolutely despicable. Now, also, there was a large vote with women who turned out, and yet he has shown nothing but contempt for women's rights, for women's control over their bodies, and yet those, I don't know if you put all of that, Karen, into a computer, it does not make sense.
Yeah, Ellen, on that, I suspect a majority of women did vote for Kamala Harris. I suspect she was hoping more would. I mean, it was a bare majority, and it was actually slightly less, I think, than voted for Joe Biden 4 years ago.
Well, I think part of the problem, and this relates to what we were saying just a minute ago about Harris not having a clear message, is, you know, Democrats have successfully run on abortion rights. That has been successful in the 2022 midterms. For example, we've seen successful ballot measures protecting the right to abortion. We had that in New York, which is not a big surprise. But Prop 1. But we have seen it in places where it is a bit more of a surprise, where voters really were motivated by this. But that, you know, there were other places, and Harris only had the option of a very short campaign. But I actually wrote a piece right after Harris declared, you know, just sort of saying she needs to stake out her positions now before she's able to be defined by Trump. And also, you know, across the board, pretty much, voters, you know, across the world have rejected incumbency. And so also distinguishing oneself from the incumbent is really important. And I don't think that was done very successfully. And I also don't think she was able to tie abortion to these other issues, like issues of, you know, economic issues, issues of like healthcare for trans people. Like, she just wasn't able to connect abortion to other issues that would provide more of a worldview.
Yeah, it's interesting that inability then, I guess, to distance herself from the incumbent, the first one, a warning sign then in terms of what was going to play out over the night, was that exit poll that showed such dissatisfaction with the incumbent and with the direction of travel the country is on. I mean, if you're closely associated with that incumbent, Benny, it's almost like that was a real early significant headwind for the campaign last night, wasn't it? For
absolutely.
Her,
I think she defined herself by Trump. You know, she basically, the big question was, I think it was on The View or whatever, how will you be different than Biden? And she said, nothing comes to mind. Instead, she kept, she never actually spelled out what kind of policies she will have. She just kept saying Trump is awful, which brings me back to the point you were making, Kieran, and that is that that joke during the Madison Square Garden official was pumped by the media and by
Puerto Rico, the floating garbage. Yeah.
By the media and by the campaign, and everybody pumped it over and over again, overlooking, by the way, that Biden immediately after said that all Trump voters are garbage. But one thing that jumped out to me, that in Florida, I think 60% of Puerto Ricans voted for Trump. And so the idea that you brought up, Karen, that you are surprised by the Hispanic vote, I think that, you know, I have a very good friend who lived in Mexico for many years. He emigrated to the U.S. as a young man. He has a business here. He had some problems with immigration when he went down to Mexico and came back. But he's an American citizen. And you know, people like that, they say, I had so much hardship gaining my legal position in America. Why do I have to support people who come here and jump the queue? So I think that that was a major issue in the Hispanic vote, as well as I think Hispanics are much more conservative than they are perceived to be. They're Catholic, a lot of them. By the way, the idea of Hispanic is very, very
well, it's very broad.
Loose.
And also, you know, when you split it kind of, if you split it by gender as well, the big gain was amongst Hispanic men. And Hispanic men are much more, less likely than Hispanic women to be college educated. They're much more likely, I understand, Kieran say, to have kind of blue-collar jobs. And that kind of brings you back around to the other kind of prevailing issue that's kind of existed for, you know, 15, 20 years, I guess, really, which is as kind of a sense of disenfranchisement amongst kind of blue collar workers with
the perceived elite. I think that the shift in this election is very significant. And that is that the blue collar vote, as you call it, used to be reliably Democrat.
Mm.
They're moving very hard and fast towards the Trump-style Republican.
Yeah, they were created back in the 1980s. They were called the Reagan Democrats.
Right.
Where it was the first time ever Democrats, many of them Irish, most of them union people, were saying, we like what this guy is saying. We don't like what the Carter, at that time the interest rates were 19%. People couldn't buy houses, couldn't buy cars. And this fellow was coming. He could talk plain talk to people. And after that, Clinton got them. Mondale didn't get them. The interesting thing, just on some facts, the polling coming out yesterday showed that most people were unhappy with Biden, with the economy in the swing states. Now, when you look at the spending, the Democratic Party spent $225 million on their economic message alone. Economic message alone, just to keep hammering home, Republicans spent $165 million, $60 million less, and still the message, because everyone here knows when you go out and you buy a small bag of shopping, today it's costing you $60 to $80. And that's reality. Now, the price of petrol has come well down, or gas or petrol. It's down under $3 in New York. But most people remember that it was over
$4. But Kieran, that's a global phenomenon. The same is true in Ireland.
Yeah.
It's very hard to convince people that they're actually doing okay.
Well,
you know, like that's a,
but if they're not, they're not.
I know, yeah. but for people who are, I mean, like, there are people who are doing okay, and it's the same in Ireland. I mean, if you listen to the media, and I say this as
that's your crowd
working in the media, you'd be led to believe that kind of everybody is living paycheck to paycheck. But it's a very difficult proposition for a government to stand up, a politician to say, you know what, you're actually doing well.
Yeah, but that means that's a let them eat cake attitude, right?
And I do think there is, you know, there's a distinction between the sort of bird's eye view of the economy and, you know, saying, listen, inflation has gone down X amount. Well, that, I think, to a lot of people means, well, shouldn't prices be the same as what they were pre-pandemic? And that's not what that means.
Yeah.
So people, there's a very serious disjunction between what we see on these high-level economic trends and versus what people are feeling in their own homes in terms of wage growth, in terms of the ability of their wages to keep up with inflation that has already happened. And just, you know, the way that jobs and work and general precariousness has altered, because the reality is we are living in a totally different economic world than we were in 2019, than we were in 2016. And I think that's just not something that most of the political class is able to really understand.
And I think the politics of that is also interesting, because the people who try to convince the people that they're doing fine are people like Oprah and, you know, and Beyonce and Bruce Springsteen, who are doing fine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that didn't work. I'm sorry.
No.
Are you from Jersey or something?
No, I'm not. I'm a big fan of the boss.
That's worth looking at. And I think this, Trump won North Carolina.
It's my home state, yeah.
Yeah. by 20,000 odd votes four years ago.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He won it last night by 200,000 votes.
And
go ahead. Explain.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is not... Well, I think there are a couple of things at play. Another interesting thing, North Carolina is an interesting state, and there's a reason that we've been looking at it as a swing state. And, you know, in North Carolina, we also voted in a Democratic governor. This is not uncommon for North Carolina to... It's actually very common for North Carolina to go red on a national scale and then also elect a Democratic governor. Part of that was because the Republican candidate for governor was Mark Robinson. But, you know, this has been something that's been playing out for decades, too. And in North Carolina, also, people remember what it was like to lose jobs to NAFTA. Yeah. Like, I was a kid when that happened. So these protectionist trade policies sound good, right?
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see.
Do they still actually call that other state South Carolina? Or
South Carolina.
South Carolina. It was a joke like that.
Anyway, it's been a great conversation. I wish we could keep it going. Time is against us, unfortunately.
Is this a new show?
Ellen, listen, thank you for coming in to us. Ellen Iones is a news reporter with Vox. Benny Avney is a foreign editor at the New York Sun. Kieran Staunton, co-founder of the Irish Lobby for Immigration Reform and co-founded NSEPSIS with his wife Orla as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.